From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Melanie Lekachevic is reporting for the Columbia Green Media on the plan by local developer Aaron Flatch to create an event center, hotel, and other businesses on South River Street in Coxsackie. Flatch presented details of the proposal to the Coxsackie Village Board April 8th, along with a request for a letter of support for what he called the South River Street Redevelopment Project. Flatch has purchased four buildings on 6 acres along more than 600 feet of the Hudson River shoreline. The project is expected to take approximately 4 years to complete. The buildings will be renovated to include a 12,000-square-foot restaurant, bar, banquet hall, a 20,000-square-foot hotel, 3,500 square feet of additional commercial space with 10 high-end apartments and 3,000 square feet of retail storefront for small businesses, a series of docks, and a kayak launch. Flatch said, and I quote, "The whole idea is to promote tourism and economic development in downtown. We want to bring people there that have never been there before and have them spend money, hang out, and eat at local restaurants," end quote. Flatch did not specify a cost for the project, but the letter of support the village board agreed to provide will help in his effort to secure a $2 million state grant. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Kenneth C. Crow II is reporting for the Times Union. Rensselaer County Sheriff Patrick Russo has announced he will renew the agreement with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement to participate in its controversial 287G program to check the immigration status of people incarcerated at the county jail. Two guards at the facility are trained and assigned to that task. Since September, two people were identified with immigration holds, according to jail records. Russo shrugs off the low number as easily as he does the complaints that erupted last year when he signed up with ICE for the training and to obtain computer access. Russo, a Republican who is running unopposed for re-election to a second term in November, said, and I quote, "We haven't had a lot of business. I see it as two criminals who aren't out on the street. It's about public safety," end quote. Russo intends to sign a new contract with ICE when the current agreement expires in June. Russo said the 287G program does not bring in any additional revenue to the county, whose 473-bed jail is nearly 40% empty on any given day. Opponents of the program said that was one of the sheriff's main selling points. Rensselaer County is the only county in New York that participates in the 287G program and one of 68 counties out of more than 3,100 nationwide that signed up. Read the full story in the Times Union. Joseph Spector is reporting for LoHUD.com. Republican Chili Farley, who ran for the U.S. Senate against Democrat Kirsten Gillibrand last year, announced April 9th she's running for Congress in the Hudson Valley. Farley hopes to unseat 18th Congressional District Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, a Democrat. Farley said, and I quote, "The Hudson Valley needs somebody who is going to fight for them, negotiate, and actually get things done that will lower our taxes and reduce our energy costs, which is what we desperately need," end quote. Farley moved from Manhattan, where she served as GOP financial chair, to Orange County in February. Farley says Maloney has failed to bring the district enough money and resources. She even blasted the Republican 2017 tax reforms that put a $10,000 cap on state and local income tax deductions. If elected, Farley said she will go to Washington and I quote, "make sure we negotiate a better deal," end quote. Farley, 51, is a graduate of Stanford University. She worked on Wall Street for UBS Capital and Goldman Sachs before founding Mistral Capital International, a private equity investment firm. Read the full story at LoHUD.com. Jana Herron is reporting for USA Today on the new W-4 form, which will change how the Internal Revenue Service calculates the amount of federal tax to be held back from a worker's paycheck beginning in 2020. According to Herron, Early indicators are it will not be an easy form to complete. Pete Iceberg, head of government affairs at payroll company ADP, says the new tax form will be more like doing your taxes. He says, and I quote, "It will be a much bigger pain. The accuracy will be 100%, but the ease of use will be zero," end quote. He said the draft form he examined, and I quote, "looked a lot more like a 1040 than a W-4, end quote. Instead of claiming a certain number of allowances based on exemptions, the new form asks workers to complete the annual dollar amounts for non-wage income, itemized deductions, tax credits expected for the coming year, and more. In addition to concerns about its complexity, the tax and payroll community have cited privacy issues with the new W-4 because it asks for household income and other details that workers might not want to share with an employer. Another draft version of the form is expected by May 31st, according to the IRS. The agency is soliciting public input on that version. An agency spokeswoman said, and I quote, "We encourage taxpayers to take advantage of that opportunity and send us comments on the redesign," end quote. A second draft will be released in late summer, and the final version will be available by the end of the year in time for the 2020 tax year. Read the full story in USA Today. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.